Is that right?
Yeah.
Amen. Let me see. Is it still right?
No.
Oh. Okay. Amen. I'll hang out right here then. It is good to be here tonight, and I appreciate Pastor allowing us to do that. Before the service kind of got started, that was I have done that with all my kids, dedicated them to the Lord. And I remember when Kinsey, she ended up getting very sick and was life-flighted to a hospital in Austin, and was very, very sick. And I was just praying and just tore apart, really, at that time. Thought we might lose her. And I remember while I was praying, God reminded me that I took her to an altar and gave her to Him.
Yeah.
Amen. That's good.
Yes. Now, while I was praying, I had to say, Lord, she's yours. Whatever you want to do with her, she's yours. You know, when you don't own anything, it doesn't hurt as bad when it gets taken. Amen? Brother Ron says something about, you know, if somebody steals my car, if I go out and my car's gone, and I just say, Lord, somebody took your car. You know? We're going to be in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I would ask you to pray for us. The Lord has been blessing there in Bolivia, and we're excited about everything that's going on there. Let me move over here. Everything that's going on over there, and but because of running here and there and going back and forth, because we were really rolling, and I don't think that ball has stopped, but I think it slowed down. So y'all pray that we just keep that momentum going, and that God would just continue to bless. Like I said, I will be meeting with my youth pastor that is leaving and headed to help start another church. I'll be meeting with him when I get into Santa Cruz. They are on their way. They left today. They were in church this morning and then got on a bus and headed to, for them it'll probably be maybe a 30, 35-hour trip to a different part of Bolivia, and they'll be helping starting a church in a different area. And so I'm excited for them, but we also have a family that will be moving at the end of the month to us, to help us. And so it is exciting things. And if you get opportunity this year or any time, we would love to have you come and visit and see what the Lord's doing there. Luke chapter 15, I titled this message, The Grace of God. This morning I had opportunity to preach in a church over in Patton Village. Never been there. I didn't even really know there was a church there. And the pastor contacted me and asked me if I could come. And so I went, and I got to see some people that I went to school with. And I was thinking about my life and things growing up here in Splendora and things, and how that God's grace has been good to me.
Amen.
And really been good to me. I remember going to the First Baptist Church in Splendora. My dad pastored in Houston, and that's where I was a member, and that's where I always went. But one Sunday I dropped in after high school. I just dropped in there. And there was two young ladies that I went to high school with, and they said, "Hey, Kenneth, you can come sit with us. I didn't know you went to church." And that was a dagger in the heart, you know. Just my dad was a pastor, and the grace of God. God is good, isn't He? Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. Bible says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for tonight. Lord, I just thank you for East River Baptist Church. And Lord, each of the families represented in this church means something to me. And God, I thank you for them, and I pray that you would just grow them this next year here and just use them mightily in the church. And God, I ask you tonight just to give me clarity of thought. Lord, help me to be a blessing to your people. That's my desire. God, we'll give you all the honor and glory for everything that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. These two sons were there, this family, and the youngest son asked for his inheritance. The father, the Bible says that the father gave both of them. And the father didn't have to give anything at that time, because normally you get an inheritance after someone passes away. So he didn't have to give it to him. It was his choice to give it to him. You know, grace is never owed. It's always given. Luke 15:12, at the bottom part of that verse, it says, and he divided unto them his living. So he gave to both of them their portion there. And several days later, the younger brother gathers up all his things and possessions, takes off. And in verse 13, talks about how that he wasted all that was given to him. He wasted everything his father had worked so hard for. He wasted. And, he just wanted to taste the world, see how the world was. So many people, it seems like that as young people, they just want to live a little bit. It's a sad thing to see a lot of times in Christian homes. Whenever kids get out of the home, they begin to make decisions and kind of just go totally against anything that was taught in the home. And that is a sad thing to see. It's sad to see that we always want what this world is offering. Or many young people, many people want the things that we can't have. You know, even Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, everything that was given to them, and the one thing that God said that, you know, you cannot have, cannot partake of, that was the thing that they wanted. And, you know, so they wasted, or he wasted everything that his father had given to him. Have you ever loaned anything to someone and it came back in bad shape? I would imagine most of us have had that happen, or it never came back. You know, there in Bolivia, that's a dangerous thing to do, is loan a tool or something like that, unless you're going along with it, you know, because if it leaves your hands, it may never come back. And if it comes back, it may not be in one piece. And but, you know, the things that you have, your possessions, they mean a lot to you. And to see it get wasted, you know, if you loan a car to somebody, and my dad always told me and taught me that if somebody loaned me a car, I think he was telling me this because of him loaning me his car. If I loan you a car, you know, it ought to come back full. It ought to come back clean. And I learned that, and I've tried to do that in my life. But there's many people that don't do that. They don't take care of your stuff. And I can imagine a father giving things that money, whether it's money or possessions, whatever. You know, if he gave him land and then all of a sudden he just sold all that land and takes the money and uses it how he wants. I can imagine the heartbreak that was there, the frustration. But the father chose to give that to him. And the young boy took off and began to waste those things away. And it doesn't say how long it was before he turned back. I don't believe the Bible states that clearly. It could have been weeks, months, years. But he was gone a while and wasted everything that he had and came back. Now, I wonder how many of us here tonight are wasting the things that our Father has given us. You know, God has given many of us a godly heritage. A godly heritage, raised in a Christian home. Given a godly family. That love the Lord. That is something that you shouldn't take lightly. Not everybody here has had that. But many of you have. And you know, just thinking about that. And there's some that are wasting away what God has given. What your Heavenly Father has given to you, the inheritance that He has given to you, wasting it away. And you know, you don't really think of it as my life. It's what I, you know, you're in your own little bubble. Not thinking that it's hurting anyone and those things, but in all it's destroying your own life and even others' lives. God has given us a church that loves you and has invested greatly in you. Our pastor, when he invites people here, it's not just to give out a good love offering or anything, it's an investment for us. And the people that teach our kids and stuff here at this church, the investment that has been given over the years to our kids at East River Baptist Church. Many people sometimes take that very lightly. Don't think about the great heritage that has been given you know, when someone decides to leave a church, it seems like they want to get as far away as they can. They don't want to be around. I remember a young lady in our first church we started in Bolivia. She made some bad decisions and got pregnant. And she was like one of the best young ladies in our church, it seemed like. She was just involved. And, you know, it seems like those are the ones that the devil seems to attack and wants to destroy the most. After she made some of those bad decisions, and she, The town that we lived in was a small town. But every time that I saw her, she was just trying to get away. Didn't want to be near me. You know what? I loved her. I wanted the best for her. I would have been willing to receive her again and help her and do everything that we could to make things better in her life. But she couldn't see that. They don't want to be around the light. The Bible says in John 3:20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." You know, I don't know where you are tonight, but if you are one of those ones that are wasting away the heritage that God has given you, I wish God would wake you up tonight. You know, this young man, after he had destroyed or got rid of or used up everything that he had, God sent a famine. And God knows how to get our attention. He sent a famine. After a famine, there was nobody that wanted to connect to this guy. Nobody was there to help him, and this one guy accepts him, but he sends him out with a swine. It wasn't like, you know, he's gaining a lot in this area that he was at. And maybe you find yourself in that spot tonight. Let's look at the older brother. I believe in many ways this older brother was faithful to his father. Faithful to his father. He said he could have left. And so you see the contrast there of one young man that made decisions and took off and went and wasted away the things that he had been given. And another young man that stayed. We need to have some faithful Christians in East River Baptist Church. We do. We do. I don't know why that God laid this on my heart tonight to preach, but we need some men and some women that can be faithful to God. What is being faithful to God? Obedience. Loyalty. Trusting Him. When He speaks, just trust in Him. Being faithful to Him. And I believe in this church we have many that are faithful to Him. You know, we need to have some faithful Christians that are faithful to their church, committed, willing to serve, uplifting. Just like the father in this story, how he was willing to accept the young boy back and those things. We ought to have that spirit. It amazes me. A lot of times people don't want to get right or don't feel like they can get right. They just feel like, everybody's against me. But in reality, everybody's for you. If they're a Christian, they want to see the best come out in your life. They want to see God do great things in your life. Sometimes we fear the way that people will respond. We ought to be faithful to our families. I believe this older brother was faithful to his dad, and he could have left, but he chose not to. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25:21, verse 21, it says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." You know, it starts out with the little things. It starts out just doing the little things, and sometimes those aren't the fun things to do. But you don't get to be a spiritual person just overnight. I was listening to somebody earlier today on a podcast, and he was talking about different things and how we ought to have discipline in our life. And he had mentioned something about like that. He was talking about exercising and different things like that. You don't just get fat overnight. One meal and you're just fat. It doesn't happen. It takes some time of making decisions and you don't just get strong overnight. And you don't just get spiritual overnight either. It takes some work. But it takes you being faithful to God, faithful to your Heavenly Father. 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Number two tonight, he was content. So we see that the older brother, he was faithful, he was content where he was. In Philippians 4, verse 11, it says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." That was Paul talking. And one thing that stands out to me, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but it says that he learned to be content. He learned to be content. And that's one thing that we must learn in our life. Contentment is not based on your circumstances. Listen to this quote. I don't know who wrote it. It wasn't me. But it says, Your faith will grow when you stop waiting for better circumstances to obey God. That's a good quote. Your faith will grow when you stop waiting for better circumstances to obey God. We ought to be content. We ought to be content in what God has given us. We ought to be I was thinking about my family today, thinking about my church family and my personal family. I am blessed. Greatly blessed. Like Pastor said tonight, I am greatly blessed. God has given me a family that serves the Lord and that loves the Lord in church and involved in things. I think of my church, how that God has blessed me through y'all, through your prayers, through your financial support on the mission field, and just your love and friendship that you give to me. I am greatly blessed, and I am content with you. Amen? I talk to some missionaries, and they don't know their church family. I do. I talk to some and they're just sent out of a church. They don't know much about it. And I am content with my church. My church goes above and beyond for their missionaries. You know, you ought to be content with your job. It may not be the job that you stay with forever, but content with it is what God has given you. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that ye have." The other day I was talking to Pastor, and we were talking about different things. I think we were with other people also, he mentioned his boat and how he likes to fish, and he said, "You know, that's one reason I don't go to boat shows." Because it would probably make me discontent with what I have. The other day I was at the airport and I saw a man. Michael was with me. He saw him too. And he walked out. Michael walked out of the bathroom and was like, you know, just looking at this guy. I guess it was a toupee that he had on. But he had a big gap back here with the bald spot. And he had hair down here. And kind of like me, bald right here, you know. And he had it laying up on top. And it was obvious that there was stitching and stuff up here. It looked terrible. I mean, it's just laid up there, you know. And looked terrible. And I thought, discontent. You know, God made me this way. I look in the mirror sometimes and I think, man, this life has been rough. But you know what? The more I lose, the shorter I'm going to cut it. I was in Walmart the other day and I saw a lady. I mean, obviously something had been done to her lips. They were incredibly huge. I thought maybe she had got stung by a bee or something, but the rest of her face was not that way. And it was awkward looking. But I thought, why would you even think that? It's discontent. We ought to be, if you're short, you ought to be thankful. Amen? Other people can get the things that you can't for you. Be content. I am thankful that God has called me to Bolivia. You know, it seems like everywhere I've went, I have tried to be content. And when I came back to the United States, my heart, it's just been in Bolivia, but when I came back to the United States and had an opportunity to start a Spanish church, you know what? I just felt like maybe God has me here for the rest of my life in Rogers, Arkansas with this Spanish church. But I was content until He put my heart back in Bolivia. And we have changes throughout our life, but we ought to be content with what we have. Our church is not perfect, but it is a wonderful church. A wonderful church, and you ought to be content with it. The younger son, he returns home. In Luke 15:17, it says, "And when he came to himself, he said, how many," you know, it's funny how a lot of teenagers, they lose their way. And then, as a young boy, I remember, I mean, I'm just talking about the things that you've experienced, I've experienced. As a young boy, I remember my dad could do anything. I mean, he was it. As a young boy, I could tell another kid, my dad can whip your dad. Because he was the man, you know. As a teenager, I thought he was disconnected with the world, that he didn't really know much. And then after I got a little bit older, I realized that he does know a lot. It says, "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." I think he was like, what am I doing? What am I doing? Destroying my life by bad decisions. He began to realize what he had. He began to realize what he had. You know, young people always want to be on their own until they figure out how hard it is. As a teenager, I wanted to be on my own, and the same thing happened. I realized how good I had it. You know, my mom, many of you know my mom, and my mom, she would iron my T-shirts. This is, I remember, I would suggest nobody that gets married to move in with your in-laws. You know, that's just not a good thing. It happens all the time in South America, Mexico, and all those things. I would suggest that you not do that. I remember, I remember Brooke. Whenever she got when we got married, we had a short time living at my dad's house. Not a good thing. I love my dad. He may be listening. I don't know, but I love my dad. But it is not a good thing. I remember when Angie and I were married, lived with my parents just for a very short time before I took off to Bible college, and brand new married. You know, my mom get up at 4 a.m. and if Angie were to get up to go to the bathroom, my mom would go in there and make the bed, you know. I was blessed with a good mother. And when I got on my own, I realized what I had. I realized how blessed I was. In this story, we see how God received, or I'm sorry, how the father in this story received him back. You know, maybe mom, dad, friends may not receive you back, but God will always, always take you back. I've given this verse to you several times over the years, Ecclesiastes 9:4. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. As long as you're alive, there's hope for you. A man gave me that verse, and I've got it in my wallet tonight. Over 30 years I've had it in my wallet. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Luke 15:20 says, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. His father was waiting for him to come home. Waiting for him to come home. A lot of times we don't know what's going on in someone's life. And it may look like they're not the prodigal, but they could be spiritually the prodigal. They could be a long ways from the Lord, even though they're still in God's house. And if that is you tonight, your Father is waiting. Waiting. Verse 22 and 23 says, but the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. You know, he was ready to give him the best coming back. That's a hard thing to do for some people. Psalms 86:5 says, For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. He's just waiting for you. He's just waiting for you to call out to him and just let him know that I was wrong. I chose some wrong direction in my life. But the great thing is he's ready to receive you back. The older brother, you know, I believe in the beginning he was great, you know, he stayed. But at the end of the story, you see that the older brother gets angry with his father. Gets angry with his father. And in verse 25 it says, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, and he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never givest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Wow, look at the attitude, how that sometimes the ones that continue to do right, continue to serve God, how that we can get a wrong attitude towards someone else. You know, he began to be angry. I look at the story and I think how, I mean, this is just life right here. Because one takes off and the father's, I mean, if you don't have kids, you'll learn the father's heart is torn and broken and those things. And then he comes home, there's excitement, and then there's another problem. It's life. There's another problem. Now the other one is angry and angry at him. And he's like, man, I done give you my stuff and I let you live here and I do everything for you. And just, it breaks my heart to see families in that condition. They're in churches all over the world that have these issues. As soon as one gets better, something else happens. The young man, listen to how many times he talks about himself. These many years I serve thee. He begins to let him know what he has done. I serve thee. Never transgressed I at any time. Have we been guilty in that? To tell the Lord, man, I've been faithful. I'm the one that's sitting here going through the trial, but I've been here. Neither transgressed I at any time at thy commandment, and yet thou never givest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Wow. Discontentment. Discontentment. Although in many ways was faithful and had made some right decisions, but he allowed the devil to get in a different area in his life. Sometimes we get that way when God blesses others. You know, Jonah got that way. Bible says in Jonah chapter 4 verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. People got saved. People got right with God and displeased Jonah. God spared Nineveh. I'll finish with this. God blesses the faithful. God blesses the faithful. There's those on both sides, and then there's those that just stay faithful. Bible says in Luke 15:31, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. He's trying to encourage his older boy to come into the house and to rejoice that his brother's back. And he said, you know what? Everything that I have is yours. It's yours. He got what he had. He wasted what he had. His life is going to be different. But all that I have is yours. Finishing, I don't normally try to use other people's illustrations. I was sharing a little bit with Brother Brian the other night, this illustration, because this man, Brother J.C. House, is family to him. And I heard this years ago. He was preaching, and he talked about how that where he lived here in Texas, it seemed like everybody had a dog. And he said, you know, everybody had a truck and everybody had a dog. And so he had his truck and he wanted to get his dog to go in the back of the truck. And he was looking around and he found in Dallas there was a place that, I don't know, what is it, where you pick up stray dogs and stuff like that. Anyways, they adopt them out and stuff like that. So he went to go get one, and when he got there, he looked over these dogs and he found, I think it was an Australian Shepherd. It was red. And he said, you know, he had to pay for this dog. It was kind of like it's crazy what you had to do sometimes, but you had to do all this paperwork and pay for the dog and everything. He got it. He was taking the dog home. He had a kennel in the back of his truck, but he thought, you know, I'm just going to let him be in the truck with me. So he let him go up front with him, and they stopped by PetSmart on the way home, and that's one of these stores you can take your dog in, and he's just walking around just buying all kinds of the top-of-the-line stuff, you know, the best collar. He's buying all these things for him, and he said he named his dog Red. And so he buys all this stuff. He goes back, and he gets this, a friend of his was a builder, the way I understood, and builds him this real nice dog house, real nice big dog house. But during that time that the dog house was being built, he just let him stay in the house. And then he just owned his spot in the house, you know. He said, when we were sitting in the living room watching TV, he said Red would be over there, you know, he just watching TV with us. And he said that one thing that he started seeing happening is that his dog began to get closer to his wife. Dog would lay at her feet when she get up, you know, at night to go to bed. Dog would follow her to the room. And he said, you know, when he get done watching the news or whatever, he'd start to go to the room and the dog wouldn't want to let him in. So he said, you know, he's an evangelist, so he'd preach all over the place. He'd got to the point where he'd have to call his wife and say, put up the dog, because I'm coming home. He said, I'd given that dog everything. That dog was blessed. He said the last time he had saw it, he'd given it to a farmer, given that dog to a farmer. He's getting tired of just going home all the time and having to call his wife, let him in the house and all that. And so he gave it to a farmer. He said the last time he saw it, he said, you know, the dog was skinny. His hair was matted, had fleas and ticks. He said, you know, Red had one problem. He didn't understand who his owner was. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20, it says, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, the prodigal son had everything. Had everything. And he gave it all up. We are blessed. But some of you might be giving it up. tonight. God has given us a godly heritage, good family, and maybe you're throwing it all away. And your Father, your Heavenly Father, His heart is broken. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I just want to encourage you to stay faithful. Amen. Stay faithful. God has a reward for those faithful. And I want to encourage you, if you've made some bad decisions, gone the wrong direction, God's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. He wants to help you. Let's stand and pray. Lord, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word and how you've given us different stories in the Bible that allow us to see how life really is. How we make decisions and how we make choices in our life, but they always have consequences. Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church to stay faithful to each other, stay faithful to you. God, I pray that you would help us to make wise decisions. Lord, and I pray if there be one here tonight that is far from you, that they'd realize you hadn't went anywhere. You're right there, waiting for them to call out. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, God spoke into your heart tonight. Maybe